much about amazing. You gotta put it in
perspective. I'm back. Did I miss anything? Hey, there's a monkey in the booth.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You're hired.
I am?
Sure. Don't take nothing to get hired around here and walk in that door right there and tell me you're damn fool enough to want the job.
Thank you very much.
I don't pay enough.
Mm-hmm.
They all quit. You'll quit, too.
I'll take it.
Okay.
So tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm the black one.
Let me walk you out.
Wait. I didn't tell you yet that, everyone I ever met is dead.
Oh, you have a sad past. Then you can stay one more week.
And now,
my la lupa.
Our feature presentation.
My what?
Don't look at me, man. That's right.
My
lupa.
Lupa?
I think he was trying to speak some Hawaiian is what it sounded like to me.
No. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful language. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 27th of January. What is love?
Why the flashback to Night at the Roxbury today? How did that come up?
I don't know. It was a song, and I just started doing it to Chip. Ding. And I remembered Night at the Roxbury, and I thought, wow, that was so funny when we first saw it. And
Allie,
then
you know
it
how,
ended.
You know how the go-to This Is Kevin's Movie moment is the clean piece of glass in the Paul Blart movie?
Yes.
For a long time, Night of the Roxbury was Kevin's movie.
Oh.
That was the movie we always used to make fun of, that
yeah.
he was obsessed with.
Yeah, remember when you said, remember when we all laughed at that?
Yeah.
We didn't all laugh at that. Just really, it was just me. And then everybody else was like, okay. And then that was used as, you know, bad. Kevin has bad taste.
Right.
For 10 years.
And by the way.
Sorry, Kevin, to bring that up.
Will Ferrell is awesome, and I'm sure he was awesome in that movie. I don't know. I didn't see it. But I remember at the time, it was even harder back then to get Kevin to go see something decent, like something kind of
right.
out of his comfort zone. But he kept going back over and over again to see Night at the Roxbury because he never got tired of how funny it was. And we were like, but seriously, Gandhi. And he's like, he's Indian and dumb. You know, it was that kind of a thing. But when you brought up Night at the Roxbury, it was just such a strong flashback to that time because I do remember how much fun we had.
Aww.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun then. We did. That was fun. Yeah.
That's good times right there.
Good times.
Yeah.
Hey, it is Wednesday morning. We do have a big Kevin and Bean Show for you, but I have a fascinating technology story to get us started.
Okay.
Remember a couple of days ago, we were talking about you lost your phone, lost your wallet, and what it took to get it back.
Yep.
And I told you how fascinated I was, in particular, with the stories of the Find My iPhone,
mm-hmm.
which is a feature where you can activate it on a laptop or on your desktop or something like that to track down your iPhone if it gets stolen. And I think other brands have a similar feature too.
Really accurately, within feet.
Yeah.
Yes, within feet. It's a GPS type deal where you can now drive over to the person who you believe stole your phone. Well, this story comes out of Atlanta this week. There is a couple there named Christina Lee and Michael Saba. They are married. Saba is an engineer. Lee is a journalist. And for whatever reason, people keep showing up at their house looking for their lost phones, and nobody knows why. They don't have them. They haven't stolen anybody's phones. They're all the different service providers, T-Mobile, Sprint, AT&T. People just keep banging on their doors and saying, hey, you've got my phone. Android users, iPhone users on various networks keep being directed to their house by phone tracking apps. Once the awkward situation is explained, most lost phone seekers are understanding, but the couple in an interview recently said that a smaller number of people who place absolute faith in their tracking technology are convinced that the couple is lying, provoking potentially volatile conflicts. My biggest fear is that something dangerous or violent is going to happen. Someone's going to visit our house because of this. If or when that happens, I doubt that our polite explanations are going to get very far. The majority of the incidents happen late at night or after dinner, and they still have no idea why their house keeps showing up.
That's weird.
Huh.
They have, you know how inconvenient it is just when you've got a cell phone number of, you know, it used to be owned by a business or something like that, and a few times a year you get a call looking for the supermarket or whatever. These people have folks coming to their house.
And not happy.
And jacked up, probably, and ready to throw down because they're convinced that they're going to, you know, find a couple of kids that stole their phone or something. They have complained to Apple. They have complained to Google. They have complained to the FCC. They have written to their congressman. They're doing everything they can. And none of those companies are able to say why it keeps happening. It's some sort of GPS problem or extrapolation of cell phone towers problem or something. The most serious incident happened in June. The police came looking for a teenage girl whose parents had reported her missing. The police made the couple sit outside for more than an hour while they decided whether they should get a warrant to search the house for the girl's phone and for the girl. When Miss Saba asked if she could go back inside to use the bathroom, the police would not let her. Your house is a crime scene.
Right
on.
And
you two are persons of interest, they told him.
Kevin, it's not good.
Oh. All right. On separate occasions, three frantic young men showed up outside their doors looking for someone. The minute Michael opened the door, they were like, "Where is he?" It just goes on and on and on. I mean, people have said, "Hey, why don't you move?" That seems like a pain in the ass, but the home is owned by one of their parents.
Ah.
So that's why they live there. So the technology is not always reliable, and I guess that might be worth keeping in mind if you do have occasion one day to drive over to somebody's house and you're convinced, "I gotcha, you son of a bitch." Sometimes it may not be true, but isn't that such a weird mystery that they're going through?
I bought an iPhone from them for $6, though. Really cheap online. You can really get them going cheap right out the door.
I mean, I guess the smartest way to now be able to steal phones with impunity would be to get people to believe your story. No, no, it's not us. It's just a technology.
Maybe they did this ahead of time, and now they're going to start stealing phones.
Maybe so. Oh. Maybe they're going to start stealing phones because they go, "What the hell do we have to lose now? People always believe we have them. Now we can just show them this article and go, oh, I guess it's not you." And they got 4,000 of them in a back bedroom.
I like it.
So I don't think I would enjoy this very much.
Really? You wouldn't
those,
like
I don't think those
random people coming to your door
and demanding that you hand over their phone.
Not good.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Oh my God, that's fantastic. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Wow, that's rare.
Maybe jumping the gun there a bit. I'm not positive it's gonna be that good. Although Milana Weintraub is coming.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's amazing and funny, and she does those AT&T commercials. Mm-hmm. And she's also got this charity that is unbelievable. We're going to introduce you to it and put the website up, and you'll be able to watch it. And it's just it's remarkable.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to have her in. We have You Fought With Coworkers. You know, Blake Griffin. Oh.
You like this so much because you're a Lakers fan and you hate the Clippers.
Yes.
Okay.
But I would also like, let's say Kobe did that. Uh-huh. I would be pissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would think the Lakers would dock him however much money they were going to
Absolutely.
Pay him.
Absolutely.
Just because that's not something that you want your athletes getting into.
No.
So anyway, well, we'll talk about that on today's Kevin and Bean
show. No one can get into a fight with Kobe at this point, though, because it'd be elder abuse.
See, because he's not as young as some of the other players.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Mugs. That's it. Just Mugs. Okay. Got some more interviews for you. And wow. He's very muggy.
Yeah.
He's extremely muggy.
Can't wait.
He's going to be strong. And also on the program today, we're going to talk to one of our friends who's getting married. We're very excited that Doto, the International Man of Mystery, has found a bride.
If we are not invited to that wedding, by the way, I'm very disappointed.
Will you go?
Well, that's not the point.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, it's Tiffany. You know what to do.
Sister, it's El Nino. I'm back in town finally and heading to Mountain High. The slopes are on fleek. I need some FaceTime. Meet me at the Foggy Goggle after...
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Look who it is,
right?
Ladies and gentlemen. The
right?
return
Look who it is.
Of our friend Ralph Garman.
Who could have seen this coming?
You look so Sundancey.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
How was it?
It was smagical. Smagical?
Yes. Sensational and magical.
Okay, good.
Smagical.
Come on,
get with it. Learn what the kids are saying these days.
They're saying smagical?
Come on, it's like Tinder and Xbox. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Did you sweep your hotel room for any cameras that Allie may have had installed
found
before you
three.
Arrived?
Found three. Three little nanny cams in there. Sure. Allie was trying to find all the details
seven.
Out.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Crap. I missed something.
That teddy bear wasn't a teddy bear.
Right?
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to enjoy that video of what Ralph did to that teddy bear, then.
Yeah.
Well, we missed you, Ralph. We're glad you're back.
I am glad that you missed me, and I'm glad to be back.
All right. Let's take our first look at the Showbiz Beat then on a Wednesday. What's happening? What's new?
Well, just nothing but sadness over the news that after 113 years, Abe Vigoda has finally passed away. He was the go-to joke. Abe Vigoda still alive? And now the answer to that question is no, not any longer. He was a great character actor, worked a ton throughout his entire career. For example, he played the legendary role of Tessio in the classic movie The Godfather. But he was already 50 years old when he got that role. He had been working his entire life and then blew up on television on the hit TV show Barney Miller, which was a comedy about a police precinct. Think Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but not with Andy Samberg.
Right.
It was a great series. And then he got a spinoff show himself. Fish also was a TV series. And he became a running joke about his passing in 1982 when People magazine famously ran a story claiming he died. And he was very much alive. And now, sadly, after 94 years of age, he has passed away.
How about that?
Not a bad run.
Everybody's going to go, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Not going to get me on that one.
Fooling me.
I think the last thing I saw him in, Ralph, was that Super Bowl commercial a couple years ago. Remember him and Betty White out playing
Snickers.
Football?
Snickers,
yeah.
Commercial, yep. He also had a great rock and roll moment on stage with the band Fish. See the tie-in?
Yeah.
Their song, Wombat. He is name-checked in the lyrics. And on Halloween 2013, Abe joined the band on stage during that song. Their show in Atlantic City, New Jersey, so... I mean, he was an elderly gentleman, but by all accounts, he was very active and enjoyed his life enormously right to the end.
That guy. What would he need him for?
I would disagree. I would disagree. I would say that's a life well lived. If you can be in your 90s and still showing up at Fish concerts and doing Snickers commercials and having a good time, it's not a bad way to go out. Got any plans for the big game? You know the big game, the one that is big? That's the game that we can't say the name of, but it's big and it's a game?
Can't refer to the teams or anything?
No, it's just a game.
It's
I can't
a big
say
game.
What game they're playing.
Right.
It might be bingo. I don't know. I just know they're playing a game and it's big. In Santa Clarita.
Yes.
In 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's Santa Clara.
Clara, rather, yes.
Be a lot better if it was Santa Clarita.
Would that be
cool?
Closer,
yeah.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't
easier
have
to get
that
to.
Trip all
right.
The way out there? Well, Oscar Mayer wants you to enjoy a very special weekend.
Oh.
It's part of a charity auction. All the proceeds will go to Stop Hunger Now. And so you can enter this auction to win a weekend in their Winnebago. See what they did there, the Oscar Mayer people?
We used to just call it the Oscar Mayer Mobile.
This is not, this is not the
Wienermobile.
It isn't. It's a different one.
This is a Winnebago.
Okay.
There's a car that you can drive around and looks like a hot dog.
Right.
Right.
But this would be the Winnebago. Now, a Winnebago, if you're familiar with that vehicle.
Like an RV.
Like an RV thing.
Okay. Right.
Exactly, Allie. Once again, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
So if you win the contest, you spend 3 days in that?
Well, you get to drive it to the big game. And it comes loaded with snacks and drinks and cable and a $2,500 stipend you can spend however you like and a personal chauffeur to drive your Winnebago around.
The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that?
That's the Winnebago man. He will give you accoutrement.
I miss him.
We all miss him.
We got flies all over the place. Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony. We got flies coming for us.
Flies.
Out of here, flies. We got three flies. Five flies.
Oh, five.
Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
Flies.
That guy. What would he need
Stop
him for?
Stop it, Doto, with your belligerence. And good news for folks if you're like me and you've been watching billions over there on Showtime. Showtime's already picked up a second season of the show after just two airings.
Is it good?
You haven't watched Billions
no,
yet?
No, I've taped it, but
you
I haven't
should
watched...
die.
Well, that's a little that's extreme.
You should die in flames.
I feel like that's a little
you
strong.
You should burst into flames and die.
I've recorded them. I just haven't
watch
had time.
Them. Watch the shows.
So what do you say? You want... We should watch it?
I would recommend that you take a look.
All right.
It's brilliant. It's excellent. It's really excellent. Damian Lewis, Paul Giamatti. I mean, those actors alone make it worthwhile, but the writing is great. It's sharp, and it's cool, and it's funny, and it's tough, and it's got a girl dominatrix, and it's got everything.
So skip it or see it?
God damn it. Yeah, it has been on only two airings. But had a total audience of 6.5 million viewers already.
Wow.
More viewers than even Ray Donovan, which was the network's previous record holder for high ratings. So it is the biggest hit ever on Showtime, and they're bringing it back already for a second season, we know, which is good news for folks who watch it. And those who don't watch it should die and burn and acid bath.
Or
I recommend you check it out.
Catch up on it.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Alan Cumming. You know him, of course, from The Good Wife. And also, he was Nightcrawler in the X-Men. Very talented man. 51 years old today. Mike Patton. Faith No More, right?
Sure.
Sure.
That's him. Mr. Bungle.
Right.
Right.
48 years old today. Speaking of Pattons, Patton Oswalt, our good friend, actor, comedian, all-around swell guy, celebrates his 47th birthday today. And actress Rosamund Pike, she is lovely and talented. First remember her as a Bond girl back in the day, and of course she's done a lot of work since. 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Doesn't help if Dave's leaving and you can hear the door.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:06.
Okay. Phones are open. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. We are putting together a jury for a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. So get on the phone real quick. We need five people on the line who do not know why they are calling. We are looking for people with who do not have an opinion already formed on the discussion we are going to have. 1-800-520-1067. We need you to help us decide something. By the way, speaking of, while we get the phones lined up here, speaking of that Andrew McMahon, and I know you love him the way I love him, Allie.
He's great.
What a show. Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
Yeah.
Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
And Weezer.
Yeah.
One bill. One night.
It's insane. I would go see all three of those bands by themselves.
Same.
Yeah. Great. All three. Yeah. So fun live. And they're all going to be playing at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August the 6th. It's one of the final shows before they put that venue down. And we are giving away tickets all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. And on our show at 9 a.m. every day this week. You get a chance to win tickets to go see that show August 6th. And you're on the standby boarding list to go see the band Weezer in Amsterdam. We'll do that grand prize drawing on Monday morning. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016.
Hey, guys, Doto's going to get married.
Yeah, we got Doto
getting
married.
That's going to happen.
We're talking to him later on today. We also have a brand new round of beer mug interviews that we're going to do for you here in a couple of minutes. But first, we need to take care of some serious business.
All right.
Looks like we might have our people on hold.
So everybody seems to be sick.
Yeah.
And it sucks. One person gets sick, and then he in this case, probably me, passes it to everybody else, and then everybody else gets sick. And Bean went on vacation where he was around people, and he got deathly sick. And so I brought up that science has made so many advances that it has to be possible. This is my working theory, for them to be able to make NyQuil taste better. There's got to be a way to do it, but I'm guessing NyQuil, the company, doesn't do that because they feel if it tastes really bad, that to in my mind, that means it's really strong, good medicine.
Oh, it's tricking you.
Yes, because it tastes bad. It must be really good for me because the stuff that tastes good generally isn't.
Right.
So I think that's my theory on why it tastes like jet fuel. So then Bean spoke up with this opinion.
Take it away, Bean.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were paraphrasing.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. All right. I love it.
No, when I heard you say that, I was gobsmacked. It knocked me down. And here's why. Because NyQuil is delicious. If you had me hire scientists and instruct them on how to make it taste better, I wouldn't know where to start because it's already perfect the way it is. I love the taste of NyQuil. Now, it is possible, and I've thought about this, Kevin, because you seem so horrified by the fact that I will drink NyQuil and I will love NyQuil. Remember, I'm not a drinker. Okay. So I don't drink. So it's not like I'm comparing it to lots of other kinds of alcohol that tastes good. For me, this is the only alcohol I drink.
Right.
And it's great.
The only alcohol. That's sort of irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think anybody that drinks or doesn't drink hates the taste of NyQuil because it's jet fuel.
Here's where I stand.
Yes,
the
Allie.
Original NyQuil. I don't like
okay.
the greenish one.
We're not going to start nitpicking colors now.
No, cherry is delicious.
Now, what about cherry? Because cherry, it does seem to be among those people who either like or don't mind NyQuil. Cherry seems to be the favorite.
Yeah, it's like
is that one you've tried?
Yeah, of course. It's you know, it's 5% better.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not 100% nasty. Uh-huh. It's just 95% nasty. Okay. So that is the one that I usually go with.
Okay.
I like them all, but there is something very special about cherry. And, and do you do this, by the way? How do you take your NyQuil? Do you, like, I sip it and try to let it spend as much time coating my throat as possible so I get the full effect of it rather than just, like, gulp it all down at one time? Not like that at all.
Come on
is
now.
Is there a preferred strategy for how you're
yes,
supposed to take your
there's
NyQuil?
Only one way to drink NyQuil, and that's just tip it back and do it. Just shoot it. Because it's so bad.
Yeah.
And then you just have to stand there and wait. And then the after kick from that, man, you just sit there for about 15 seconds and you just go, oh, my God, that tastes so bad.
Yeah, I'm not
it's probably
it.
Good for me.
I'm savoring it. I sip it because I want it to hit every single taste bud on the way down repeatedly
over and over again. I don't buy that.
I love it.
But I'll tell you why, Bean. I don't buy that because it's either just okay or terrible.
I think it tastes great, though. I really do. I mean, it's fruity, and it's got, like you mentioned, it's got that kick in it, and it just is syrupy, and I don't know. I mean, look, how do you describe why you like the way something tastes? I just love the way it tastes. Now, the reason we want to do a scientific survey is Kevin is convinced that this is a giant waste of time, that we could poll 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people, and we wouldn't find very many people like me.
I don't know that you need to taint the sample, Bean.
I'm not tainting the sample. I'm just saying you're convinced that nobody except for me likes the taste of cherry NyQuil.
Well, I'm keeping score for the scientific survey that we're about to do, and on one side is taste great, and on the other side is liars.
And again, we're talking about, shall we say cherry NyQuil? Is that what we should say
here? Think,
or just NyQuil?
I think NyQuil is NyQuil.
Okay. There is a big difference because...
I know, it tastes bad. I know.
We're not talking about Robitussin. We're not talking about some of these other things that are, in fact, worse. Okay, we are specifically talking about NyQuil being the nectar of the gods. That's what's on the table.
Nectar of the gods.
Okay. How's NyQuil taste? You tell us. Scientific survey, 1-800-520-1067.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
They're on the line. Why would you give the phone number? They're already on the line.
Just to, you know, so
but
people
they're
know
already
what's going
on. We already have the calls.
All right. That's a good point.
Come on.
All right. So we determined a long time ago that scientifically you only need to take 5 calls to determine something for reals. And once it is decided, it is decided. Like, you can no longer argue about whether NyQuil tastes good or not, because this crowd on the lines right now is going to determine for us whether it does.
Okay. So if it goes your way, I can't complain about the taste anymore?
And vice versa. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. So Nicole is up first. She is in the jury box in Torrance on line one. Hey, Nicole. Thank you so much for calling. How are you doing this morning?
Hi. I'm good. NyQuil is gross,
and you're
lying to yourself.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
All right. That is one for Nicole, who says not so much with the NyQuil. Let's try Rick on line two. He's in Montebello. He's up next.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Good morning, all you guys.
Thank you, and thank you for calling so early this morning. We appreciate it. Jet fuel or nectar of the gods?
You know, I'm gonna go with an answer and a little bit of maybe a couple word explanation. It's jet fuel, but just like smoking, it sucked when you started, but when you know the the effect you're going to get from it. You'll gulp it down.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant.
I mean, so you're saying it tastes bad, but it does the body good, is what you're saying.
Yes, it's jet fuel.
Okay. All right. So that is another one on Kevin's side who says they don't enjoy the NyQuil.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
So far it's just me and She Bean over here and the rest of you over there.
And She Bean only likes the cherry.
Yeah.
The
original tastes like Jägermeister.
All right. Are we going to put the fate of the nation in the hands of somebody named Brittany with two T's? Is that where that's where we're at in America now?
Because it wouldn't matter which call we went to, Bean. That's what you're missing.
Hey, Britt.
Good morning.
Hi there.
NyQuil.
Well, I love NyQuil. I think it's the best.
Brittany.
I think it tastes really good.
But
What just happened?
Do you spell your name with two T's?
I do.
All right, you're out. Sorry.
No, she's
now
not.
It matters.
She is,
now it matters.
No.
What?
Brittany, thank you so much for calling. It is 2-1 now. Either tastes like ass or nectar of the gods. Let's see Steve in Pomona. He may be the tipping point here on line 4.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? You can never trust somebody with two T's in their name like that. NyQuil is freaking terrible. It's like syrupy, thick, gross moonshine. Hot madness, man. That's awful.
Quite a description, Steve.
Yes, why don't they just put that right on the bottle?
All right, so is that it, or should we keep going? Do you want to keep going?
Well, look,
keep going.
But the rules are 3 out of 5. And it sounds to me like Steve has spoken. I disagree with Steve, but sometimes you have to accept the ruling of the court. It sounds like it has been decided by the scientific survey that NyQuil tastes like ass, but I'm still going to drink it.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Last weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center, I want to say, was an annual conference called the National Association of Music Merchants Convention, known as the NAMM Show. And this is everything that has to do with people playing music. This is musical instruments. This is DJ equipment, software, synthesizers.
Just to save you some time, Bean.
Yeah.
Muggs does go over that in the intro.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
And Muggs was amongst the crowd down there doing interviews for us.
Mm-hmm. One day he was leaving, and I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to NAMM. And I was like, oh, what's the plan? And he goes, I don't know. So that's what you're about to hear.
Uh-oh. All right.
Now, I'm going to play this intro as a whole piece. You're going to want to stop and hear it over again, you know, probably 12 or 15 times during it.
Okay.
But as a whole piece, it really stands.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Kind of as a masterpiece. This is the introduction of Beer Mug at NAMM.
Ready? What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here. I wasn't even looking at the camera. What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here at the NAMM convention. Everything music, electronics, staging, lighting. And as you all know, I'm a drummer, so that's what I'm going to be interested in. Acoustics, whatever you need, they got it here. What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here at the NAMM Convention 2016. They have everything when it comes to music. Lighting, electronics, computer programs, especially drums. What's up, everybody? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, everybody. Beer Mug here at the 2016 NAMM Music Convention. They got everything when it comes to music. Lighting. Other things.
Okay.
What's up, everybody? This is going to be rough. It's going to be a rough day.
No, keep going.
What's up, everybody? Jesus. All right, here we go. I can't say those words together. All right, cool. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here at the 2016 NAMM Convention. They have everything when it comes to music, lighting, DJ accessories, electronics, and of course, the good old acoustic instruments. What's up, everybody?
So close.
What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here at the 2016 NAMM Music Convention. They have everything when it comes to music, lighting, staging equipment, computer programs, and of course, the one thing that I'm interested in, drums.
You did it!
Okay, all right.
And that was it. That was my coverage of NAMM.
Did it. Good boy. All right. Now, tell us which actual drummer you ran into.
I ran in to the Social Distortion drummer and the drummer for the old drummer for Beastie Boys and now drummer for Go Go Bordello.
Wow. Now, here's what I love. Muggs asks a question here. Actually asks a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then David, the guy that he's talking to, gives an answer, and then Muggs is really quick to jump in with his own because he didn't care what David's answer was. Mm-hmm. He had his answers in his head.
Yeah, he was just waiting to share. Okay.
It was just like a pause for him to take a breath so that he could then answer his own question.
Look who I found. It's David, the drummer of Social Distortion. Holy crap, David. How you doing, man?
Good. Doing good.
How long you been in NAMM?
About 45 minutes.
45 minutes? How you like it so far? We're in the... We're in your section, the drum section. Who is your all-time, who do you look up to when it comes to drumming? Who's your idol?
My number one is Mitch Mitchell.
I like Mike Portnoy.
Mike Portnoy's great.
And who else is a really, Neil Peart.
Neil Peart's great, too. I mean, those are givens.
Why? How come you...
Why wouldn't the follow-up have been, hey, Mitch Mitchell, tell us why?
Or anything else related to something he's saying.
You guys are really going to question me on why I didn't ask a follow-up question?
Well, I mean, you asked a pretty good question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good question for you, which is, you know, who do you respect? Who do you look up to? Who's your idol? And he gives one name. I imagine there's more names. I imagine there's reasons why. I imagine there's anywhere you could go except for who you love.
You know, right? It's funny. Yeah. Go ahead, Bean.
Well, it just seems like this is an opportunity, especially you as a drummer. You're talking to a professional drummer about drumming. It seems like this would be an opportunity for you to learn from him rather than for him to learn from you.
You guys would think, but look who you're dealing with. And the funny thing is I had no idea who Mitch Mitchell was, so that would have been a good follow-up.
Hendrix. Question. Hendrix is
I had no idea. Now I know.
Wait, so he said David. So was it a I'm embarrassed, I don't know who that is, so I'm going to talk about.
I think so. Aww. That's how I handle it. If I don't know something, I just move on.
Oh, man. He's patterning himself right after me. All right. You guys know how
is the broadcast legend he grew up with, Kevin.
You guys know the weird phenomena that happens when Muggs asks a... It's sort of a question, but it's a long rant. I mean, it's basically a filibuster in Congress. He's just talking and talking. I don't think he has a question in mind when he begins, and he's just talking while he's trying to figure out what the question is.
I love that.
There's only one more piece, and this is Beer Mug at the 2016 NAMM Awards.
The year was 1999. I bought my first drum set. It was a Thomas Star Classic. And I bought it used.
All right, who are we talking to here? Mark?
This is the sales representative for Tama, for the entire nation, Tama Drums.
Oh, that poor bastard.
This is what makes this guy hate his job.
Yep, here we go.
The year was 1999. I bought my first drum set. It was a Tama Star Classic. And I bought it used for about $900 from this really spoiled kid whose parents bought it for him in high school. And he didn't want it anymore, so I got a good deal for $900.
Right. That's a great deal.
Yeah. Played it through high school. Great. It's like a beige color. Nice. You know, you're familiar with Star Class, of course. Well, very nice. So I played all throughout high school. Was in like five bands.
This guy must be going, how much backstory do I need about this drum set of yours?
I love it. He's like, you're familiar with what you sell.
Folks, why did you think, I don't know where this is going, and maybe you don't either, but why did you think he cared what drums you played in high school and where you bought them?
Yeah, and the kid was rich, you threw in there, and he didn't really take good care of him, you threw in there. You had so many parts of the story that are irrelevant.
I wanted to make sure he had all the details to give me the right answer.
Okay.
Now, all right, so we are leading to the question.
Yes.
Now I'm going to play the rest of it, and then you guys are going to understand what the question is.
Okay.
It's been sitting in my shed for the last, I got to say, 7 years. Is that a bad thing? Is it going to be totally, am I going to be afraid to take it out? It's in hefty bags. I've been wanting to take it out. It's in the back of the shed, by the way, so there's tons of other stuff that I need to move to get to it. So I wanted to ask a pro at Tama.
Yeah.
You know, how afraid I should be to get it out. It's a beautiful kit.
What color did you say? It was a natural?
It's like a natural, like, beige kind of, like, the kid who had them in high school didn't take care of them at all, so there's a couple scratches
Let's
on the wood.
Let's not go back to that.
But other than that, man, I mean, they're a great kit, you know.
Ask a question!
It's, what is it, 6-piece?
Okay.
Yeah. It's awesome.
What's your question?
I got to take it out. I just wanted to ask you
absolutely.
First.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. That's it.
His question is, should I take my drums out of storage?
Yes.
He's got a lot of stuff in front of him. Yeah. So that he'd have to.
And they're in the back of the shed,
that.
Kevin, yeah. too. Remember that.
That long masterpiece led up to, should I take my drums out of the attic?
See, what happened was, in me telling that story, I kind of forgot the other part of the question.
Okay.
Which was, are they going to be in good shape?
Oh.
How does he know that? He doesn't know what shape they were in when you put them in the attic.
I told him they were in great shape.
You're so Muggsy.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Pete. It's 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
What's happening?
Nothing.
Just the off-air hijinks.
The beautiful actress Milana Weintraub on the program later on today. By the way, Jillian Bell, hilarious actress, is going to be with us tomorrow. Hannibal Buress on Friday. And the president of the UFC, Dana White, on Monday. So some good stuff coming up in the days to come here on K-Rock. First, though, why is your baby crying? There's an app for that. Kevin, you've raised some kids. Is there anything more frustrating than when your infant is crying and you have no idea why?
Yeah, it's super frustrating because you want to make them happy and you can't. But there's also only two or three things when they're little babies. It's either they're hungry or tired,
or their diaper.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's about it.
Right.
Well, so it's really a pretty easy guessing game.
It's funny you should say that because apparently somebody thought that it is such a problem that an app needed to be designed around it. And researchers at the National Taiwan University Hospital in Yunlin have now come up with an app that can separate four separate crying baby sounds. They compare them against a database, and then they will tell you what's going on with your baby. So let's find out how necessary this product is. We talked to researcher Chang Chan Yu, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey there, round eye. How you go?
Well, we're doing fine. You're with the National Taiwan University Hospital in Yunlin?
That's right. I'm with the National Taiwan University Hospital, Yunlin.
Right, That's right. What I said. Okay.
That's also what I said.
Right, so we're saying this.
Now we are both saying
saying the same thing, right? Okay.
We both say the same thing.
Okay. Why does my friend Kevin here is suggesting that maybe most parents can figure out within a couple of minutes why their baby is crying? Why do they need an app for that?
I don't think that's right.
You don't?
No, it's the baby can be crying for many reasons.
Okay.
Why make you? What you psychic? How you know?
Well, I mean, when they're that small, they're hungry or sleepy or.
In pain.
Okay,
or
pain.
Or diaper wet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different reasons baby cries, smart man.
So you...
Maybe you should make apps. Say, I just guess at it. It's my stupid head guess app. Why don't you make that app then?
So
make infant cries translator. That means the baby, you get a baby cry, you get your phone in, cry to phone. 15 seconds later, I tell you why baby cry.
So how did you go about putting this database together of crying babies?
Lots of research.
Uh-huh.
We take many baby crying sounds,
mm-hmm.
and then we extrapolate the information we know about what is going on with the baby. And by using that, we have created a sound base, a database of sounds.
I see. Okay.
And that allows us to analyze the sound of the baby cry, mm-hmm. and that way we use an algorithm to extrapolate out the reason.
Okay, understood.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, I actually followed that. Yeah.
I said it. I don't even understand.
All right. Is there any way you can demonstrate for us how the infant cries translator works?
I'm so glad you asked.
Oh, good.
Because I have prepared a demonstration for how it cry translator works.
Okay, good. Great.
I have many babies here in the laboratory.
Uh-huh.
And there's a baby right here in my arms. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Cry, baby, cry.
You don't want the baby to cry.
How am I going to translate this? They'll cry. You don't want baby to cry. Okay, let's all just stay in silence for then 2 minutes. Why are you so dumb?
That's a good question. But I think if you like...
Shut up, trying to make baby cry.
Baby's crying.
Trying to make baby cry.
Baby, hey, baby! Hey!
Oh.
Okay, now we got something. Hold on.
That's sad.
Okay, translator say, baby say... Man in horn-rimmed glasses yell in my face. That's why baby cries.
Okay. Well, that does make sense.
See, this work, I tell you. Okay, give me a new baby. Okay, okay. Here we go. Oh, this baby cry. Oh, Translator said baby cried because he just got job at sweatshop for Nike.
Oh.
Start work tomorrow.
Wow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. He start work tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, he go to work already. He's so sad.
There are a lot of reasons babies cry, it sounds like.
That's why you need the translator. Many reasons.
I guess we were wrong.
The guy say, oh, it didn't work, so I know why I cry. You don't know why. Okay, just one for a second. Let me read translator. Oh, this baby can't believe Olivia's still on The Bachelor. I'm with her.
Wow.
That girl is awful on that show. I don't know why. Okay. Oh, this baby say Oscar's too white.
What?
Oscar's too white. Wow.
Hashtag Oscar's too white.
Wow.
Very upset there's not enough diversity in the Oscar nominations.
And the baby knows that?
Of course the baby know that.
Take it easy.
Oh, this baby just heard about Abe Vigoda.
Oh,
baby, love Abe Vigoda. We all love Abe Vigoda, don't we?
We do.
Okay. This baby is very angry that Cam Newton tore down 12th man flag.
These kids are dialed in, man.
This baby said he should be banned from CenturyLink Field in Seattle. He's a big crybaby, like many Seattle Seahawks fans. This is a crybaby.
Oh, wow.
This just turned personal.
Oh, this baby found out Wendy Williams show renewed through 2020.
Yeah, I can hear. I'm with the baby.
We all cry for that one. Okay. No. This baby cried because it got puppy for his birthday.
Well, why would that make the baby sad?
Because it's for dinner. The family's not having it.
Come on. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Ralph is back after a long weekend at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah.
Yeah, back the Ute.
That's right, man.
I was hanging in the Ute. You know.
How cold was it, Ralph? You're not a fan of the cold weather. What's winter in January like in that part of the country?
First of all, once again, to show how close Bean and I are and how well he knows me, I adore freaking cold weather.
Ralph hates heat.
Hates heat. I understand
adores
that.
Adores the cold.
But you're down with like 25 degrees? You're cool with that?
Loving it.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
I was out on the balcony in a shortened T-shirt. And my wife was, are you insane? I said, this is so, feels so good. It's brisk. You feel alive.
Right, but you don't like
screaming into the mountains.
But you don't like cold weather.
Contrary to popular belief, I know what you heard on the radio, Kevin.
A guy just said that you don't like.
But in truth, I adore the cold weather.
I see. Okay.
Was just really enjoying the snow and the cold and the walking around and that brisk feeling you get when you're just come out and you have got like half a load on from a cocktail party and that air hits you and you just sober right up and you're ready to go drinking someplace else.
Wrong.
No, I'm telling you, these are the facts.
Most people in Southern California, Ralph, and I forgive me for lumping you in, have such a narrow window of comfort. Anything outside of about a 15-degree window is either ridiculously, infuriatingly hot or, oh my God, I'm going to die cold.
I like 69 to 71, if that's what you're saying.
There you go.
That's my range right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. There's more to life than just that.
So
there's,
good times, then.
72 or 73.
Wrong.
No, I enjoyed the cold enormously. It danced in the 20s most of the time in the evening when we were there.
That's shorts weather for me.
Okay, you win.
It's not a competition. I'm just saying I agree with you. I enjoy that kind of weather, too. It feels good. It's brisk and fresh, and the air tastes good. I'm totally with you on that.
Does it taste as good as NyQuil?
The air?
Savor it.
Very little is as good as NyQuil. All right, 6:56.
Just out there just licking up the air.
6:56, time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of Sundance, I was there, of course, with my buddy, and in this case, director-writer Kevin Smith, who... we worked on this film Yoga Hosers together, and if you'd like to hear the complete Sundance breakdown of the adventures over the weekend, we are doing Hollywood Babylon this week at the Improv on Melrose, our first Babylon back from Sundance. So come on out and see us. It's the 10 o'clock show on Friday night. You can go to improv.com, and we will regale you with many tales of the Sundance Film Festival, which was...
Not once, not never. Nope.
A fascinating, interesting time we had there. Many stories to be told.
No. Stop talking.
The game has stepped up his game when it comes to charity.
Okay.
I love this. Celebrity charity shaming, they're calling it. The game is from Michigan. His sister and kids live in Flint. And so he has stepped up to help out the residents of Flint, Michigan because of this horrible water situation that they're going through. He has donated $500,000 from his own pocket,
wow,
which was then matched by a company called Avita Water, which is right there in Michigan. It's based in Michigan. So a $1 million donation of purchasing fresh water for the residents of Flint, Michigan, which is awesome. And while he was announcing his donation, he talked about the donations of Jimmy Fallon and Madonna, each of them making a $10,000 pledge for fresh water from Michigan, calling them,
saying that's not
calling
enough?
Them cute. He called their donations cute.
Oh, my God.
Which is pretty spectacular. People talking about the fact when he posted a screen grab of the wire transfer indicating his donation as sort of proof positive that he was, in fact, donating $500,000. He allowed his balance of his checking account to be seen in the posting.
Interesting.
His checking account has over $13 million in it.
Oh, my God.
What? Call me.
He's the game.
Right?
Right?
13. I didn't even think he was that popular
I didn't
anymore.
Either. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, how does he have 13? In his checking account, he has $13 million.
Just, you never know when you might need 13 grand.
What's he got in his savings?
What, no, how no. About his, what 13 about his, million.
Oh, I'm sorry, 13 million, yeah.
What about his Christmas club account?
Wow.
Right? Is that still a thing? Do people still have Christmas
club? I don't think so.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, $500K for the game for fresh water, which I think was nice of him.
Well done.
Sad news to report, Abe Vigoda has passed away, the legendary character actor who played Tessio, one of the heads of the crime family, or worked for the crime family in The Godfather. He also, of course, was Fish on Barney Miller and his own spin-off TV show by the same name, passed away at the age of 94 this week. So, Abe Vigoda, we salute you with the death tuba, Abe. God bless. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Cumming is 51 years old today. How beat up did he get in school?
A lot. Probably beat up a lot.
Although he's a Brit. Maybe that's not the same phrase there. Maybe it's different. Mike Patton from Faith No More. He's 48. Patton Oswalt celebrates his 47th birthday today. And Rosamund Pike. Yeah, you're damn right. All the bells right there. She is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dave, the King of Mexico, glad you're in here, my friend. Clippers continue to swim uphill, as I once heard a wise man describe their journey this season. Here was the news report that broke a couple of days ago.
And big trouble tonight for one of the biggest stars in the NBA. The L.A. Clippers say they're investigating an incident involving forward Blake Griffin, in which Griffin threw a punch and broke his hand during a road trip in Toronto. Multiple reports say the incident also involved a member of the Clippers staff. The team says appropriate action will be taken pending the outcome of that investigation.
What would you guess appropriate action would be?
Suspension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without definitely. Pay, right?
Oh, definitely without pay.
Yeah.
Especially since he was injured and now he was about to come back.
But are they going to suspend him for the month that he can't play? I mean, literally.
No.
They're going to suspend him for another month when he can play?
Well, probably not a month, but probably 3 to 4 games.
Dave, I'm sure you've been deep diving on this story since it broke. What happened? How did he? What were the circumstances? What were they fighting over?
That is still unknown. But
salad.
They were at a dinner in Toronto, and they got into a fight.
And this was the Clippers' assistant equipment manager. His name is Matthias Testi. And by the way, I understand from reports that I saw, Dave, please tell me if I'm wrong, this wasn't just a coworker and they casually knew each other. They were friends. Like, they're vacationed
really good friends.
Together,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're business partners. Him and DJ and this guy, Matthias, they're like really good friends.
Then what on earth?
Listen, I don't know, man. Sometimes friends get under your skin and you just want to hit them.
Right,
Chip?
Right.
Right, Chip?
Right, but how many times have you hit Chip?
None.
Even though you want to on a daily basis.
None. But I've seen friends get into fights. But, yeah, I don't know, man. You shouldn't be hitting an equipment manager, especially if he's half your size. And breaking your head.
It's not just that. It's that you're hurting your team.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
That's the
right.
thing yes. that I think would be super annoying.
Like, it's not hard enough to stay physically in good shape. I mean, look how much trouble Blake Griffin has had just being healthy enough to play this year.
Well, at least it wasn't his shooting hand.
It was his shooting hand, yeah.
Now, Dave, does this sound completely out of character for a guy named like Blake Griffin? He's not someone who has a long track record of being in fights, right?
Well, I thought I thought that, but then I remembered his Vegas case that was dismissed where he smacked a guy for taking a picture of him at a club. So then you're thinking, maybe this guy does have a little anger issue, but I don't know him, so.
Kevin, let's take this into our workplace because we're gonna take some phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. If there has been an actual – we're looking for fist fights, right? That's what we're looking for.
I think so, yeah. He broke his hand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
We're not talking about an argument. We're not talking about being mad. We're not talking about going to HR. We're talking about something happened at work that employees ended up fighting one another. Are there any circumstances, Kevin, that you can imagine working on this show at this station in this building that a fist fight would break out between people on this program?
There was only one moment that was caused by you, Bean. There was one moment.
How am I being dragged into this? I'm not even there.
You were, though. No, you weren't even there. You were on the phone. We were having a meeting, and you used to be getting on our producer a lot, as did I when Lightning was our producer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Bean said something about Lightning not caring about the show. And Lightning became unhinged. He lost it. And he picked up a whole, like, vitamin water that was full and started dancing around the office. I don't care. I don't care. And what he didn't realize is the entire vitamin water was giving Ralph Garman a complete bath.
Who was completely out of the conversation.
Nothing to do with it. And he was soaked as much as if he was in the shower. And I looked at Ralph, and there was one split second where I thought, he might kill Lightning right now.
Yeah.
And then he took a beat, and then he sort of just cooled off, and nothing happened.
Wow. Ooh,
I think Lightning's lucky.
Oh, my God. He's very lucky. Have you seen Lightning?
I mean, that's as close, I think, that we've ever come to a fist fight. And that didn't happen because Ralph had self-control.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just, it's so weird because most people don't ever get into a fist fight really as an adult, right? Maybe in college, you know, and usually because it's you're drinking or something like that. But most people rarely get into a fist fight as adults and almost never at work. Like it really has to, something has to really go bad for a fist fight to break out when you're at work, partly because we all know you got to behave at work or you're going to lose your job. I mean, that's the type of thing that can get you fired if you get into a fight at work, right?
Mm. Not for just most fired, people,
of course,
arrested, jobs.
Of course, you know. Arrested for assault.
I worked with a guy who was the anchor at the time. I was interning at a TV station. He got so mad on the set because somebody put his nickname into a script and the other person on the anchor desk called him this nickname.
Uh-huh. Was it insulting to him? Yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
But this guy had anger issues. He came off the set during the commercial break, went into the booth and choked the guy out in the booth, then walked into where the producer was and chucked like a Glade candle that was right in front of him at his head.
Wow.
Yeah. He wasn't fired, though. He
wasn't fired.
No, he was not.
Wow.
You were an anchor man. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's just bizarre.
And I imagine, and again, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever been a part of a fist fight at work, imagine what it's like for everybody else standing around just watching it. You just can't even believe that this is happening at your job that day, right?
It's a lot of HR paperwork.
It sounds like it.
I feel like everybody else would have just been frozen.
Yes.
And inside I would have been going, this is awesome.
You would. Let's try if they put Sam on hold real quick, please. He's on line two. He's calling us from Los Angeles. He is up first on this topic. Sam, thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You were involved in a fist fight at work like Blake Griffin was, right?
Yeah. This is something I wanted.
Let's try Tony, Los Angeles, line three.
I missed that dude.
Well, he's back.
Tony, hi.
Hi.
You got in a fight at work.
Yeah, I got a fight at work with my cousin. He was a general manager at a warehouse.
Uh-huh.
And we had shipped some packages to the wrong destination, and the next day he came barking at me. It was during break at the lunch truck in front of everybody. So he came barking at me, and I go, hey, at least let me finish my freaking meal. And he started barking at me, so I grabbed the food, I threw it at him, and we went at it right there in the parking lot in front of the lunch truck.
Oh, my God. Now, do you think you were more likely to throw down with him because he was your cousin and you felt like there wouldn't be as many repercussions than if it had been a stranger?
Well, the fact that he came barking at me in front of everybody.
Right, but he was the general manager, right?
Yes.
And did he hire you?
Yeah, he hired me.
So, who won the fight, Tony?
Well, it got broken up pretty quick, but we both got suspended right after.
And you didn't get fired?
No, I didn't get fired because
wow. Wow, he throws the first punch and keeps his job. That's a winning day. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try Matt, line four, Rancho Santa Margarita.
Yep. Hey, yeah. Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was 17 years old at a sandwich shop, and the guy that was I got in the altercation with was the meat slicer, and was a little hungover from that before. So I just kept pestering him and bugging him. He threw me in the mop closet and started pounding on me.
Oh, man.
The manager jumped on his back, pulled him off. Of course, I was 17, so the cops showed up. Oh. And he got, anger management classes, had to stay 100 yards away from me. We both got written up, but we kept our jobs.
Both of you kept your jobs.
How about that?
Yeah.
He had to stay 100 feet away from you, though. That's a long way in a sandwich shop. He had to cut meat in the parking lot. So.
Years ago.
That is awesome. All right, thanks for the call.
All these people are hitting their coworkers and not getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Chip, watch out.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. 1-800-520-1067. Are you like Blake Griffin? A fist fight at work? We want to hear your stories next on K-Rock. The International Man of Mystery, our friend Doto, is very close to becoming engaged.
Yeah.
He wants our counsel on that, so we're going to talk to him coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Have you gotten into a workplace brawl like Blake Griffin of the Los Angeles Clippers did? We want to hear your stories. I kind of feel like we've missed out on all the fun. All these years doing the show, we've never had a fight break out.
We've had some pretty serious arguments.
Right? But it never went to punches, though. But our man Gio, sir, did. He's in Tahunga. He's on line 8. He's going to get us going here. Hey, Gio.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You got a fight at work?
I was during a Christmas party.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're talking. Happy holidays.
Nothing says the baby Jesus like a good hand fist fight.
Yeah.
What happened?
Being a former Marine, I set up the Toys for Tots for our company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were just talking, and, I mean, there's a lot of booze going on.
Right.
From across the bay. One of my coworkers' husband starts coming towards me, talking smack, saying that I was mad dogging him and that he heard I was talking crap about him.
All right, where are you?
And then one thing led to another. He threw a punch, hit me, and next thing you know, I kept knocking him down. I think the guy was on something because I kept knocking him down multiple times, and he would not quit, and he kept coming at me.
So you knocked him down, but he got back up again?
Yeah.
Kevin.
I hate myself for that.
Were there any consequences as a result of the fight, or did the boss just chalk it up to you guys were both drinking?
No, I got suspended for a day after investigation. My coworker ended up losing her job for basically protecting her husband.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm himself.
By the way, I don't know what kind of business this was, Gio, but that's a Christmas party that will forever be talked about. As
correct.
People go, yeah, but do you remember that one year when Gio got into the fight? All right, dude, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go up to Rialto, line 7. John is up next on the Kevin DeBee Show. Hey, John, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I work construction, so I had beef with this drywaller, and he wouldn't pick up his mess and stuff like that, and so it was my temper, of course. Outside on the yard, there was a trailer. You know the trailers that have, like, on top of the trailer, it's kind of like a daylight type kind of trailer?
Right.
Where the light goes in and you can see inside?
Yeah.
Well, a few of us, at break time, we went inside, and, you know, we just handled it. and that was
it. Wait, you went in the trailer to fight?
Yeah, we went in the trailer, and a couple of our coworkers were outside, standing outside, and was inside.
Did you lock the door and did you lock everybody out?
No. Well, two of our coworkers were outside. They're on the lookout, and then it was four of our
lookout.
That is a very responsible way to handle that. Which is, I mean,
well,
that's
we did it at break time.
I mean, that's just like being in elementary school saying, "All right, I'll see you at recess."
Right,
you know what I mean?
Flagpole. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we have to keep up production, so we couldn't interrupt that.
Sure, of course.
I love how you guys handled that, which is, all right, we're going to fight. Yeah, we're going to fight. What do you want to do? All right, how about this time? All right, I'll be there. All right, where do you want to go? And then you guys just showed up and you just beat the crap out of each other, and then two men enter, one man leaves.
All right, who won the fight, and did anything happen to either of you?
No. Well, my boss saw both. Well, my boss saw both of us come out of there, and he just said, "What happened?" And I just gave him that look, like, you know, like, you know how I am. And then he's like, "Man," he just shook his head, and
he's like drywallers. Am I right?
But it was building up between him and I, you know, within the project. So
sure.
It was going
to
happen.
I agree with Bean. That's a very responsible way to handle things.
It really is. I love the way you handle that. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to line four, please. Also in Rialto, this is going to be our man, Paul. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're talking about people who get in fights at work.
Yeah, I used to work at Disneyland as a dishwasher. And I was there for about a couple days, and I kept hearing from everybody that the waiters, they looked down on the dishwashers like they thought they were better than everyone. And so one day this waiter comes back and he throws a dish, like he kind of tosses it and it hits me in the chest. And I just told him, "Hey, man, you know, watch what you're doing." And he came around the corner and said, "What'd you say to me?" And I was like, "Just watch what you're doing, man. You hit me with a dish." And then he shoves me. And so I push him back and he throws the first punch. I duck under it and I hit him once in the face and he falls down. They pulled both apart.
And they pulled you apart? So you're the only one that got a punch in?
Yeah, I got one punch in. He fell down and then they pulled us both apart.
That's a very weak fight.
That's
really weak.
You're upset about that, Bean? Enough punches thrown?
Yeah, seriously.
Did anything happen to you, Paul, or the other guy?
Yeah, we both got suspended for 3 days, and then when we came back, they fired us both.
I was going to say, Disney isn't really open to fighting.
Yeah. I like that they suspended you first, and then when you came back, they fired you instead of just firing you.
Yeah, they suspended us. They said we had to pull out like a statement, and they reviewed it. And then when we came back, they ended up firing both of us.
I got you. Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Hey, let's do one more only because it involves a fight in the military. Can we talk to Joey San Pedro, please? Line 8.
Right.
This, I can't imagine they allow this at all. You got a new fight in the Army with whom?
Hey, you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Allie, good morning.
Hey.
How are you, Joey?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, so, we were on the range, and I used to work in a training brigade, and we were riding the Humvee from range to range, and I had this team leader, a sergeant at the time, that was always, like, on my app all the time. So,
and what rank are you at this time?
I was a private. I was new to the Army.
Well, then how could you be surprised the sergeant is on your ass? That's his job.
Isn't that literally his job title?
Literally.
That's literally his job.
Okay. All right. That guy was such a dick. He was always telling me what to do.
All right. So you're in the Army. You're a private. Your sergeant's always on your ass. Go ahead.
Yes. So then we're driving from a range to another range to go get some dummies to do some first aid training. And so he's talking all this trash to me, and I was driving the Humvee, and he was sitting shoddy with me as my TC. And so then I threw the Humvee in neutral, threw the e-brake up, got out, and he goes, "Hammock, what are you doing?" And I said, "Sergeant Saul, I'm going to beat your ass." And so he goes, "You better get back in the Humvee." I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that, Sergeant." And he goes, "Well, you're going to lose all your rank." And so at this time, I was kind of new wave Army with the Velcro patch. And so I ripped the Velcro patch through on the floor, through my Kevlar on the floor. I was like, "I don't give a F about my rank." And so we ended up fighting, and we got back to the range, and he told the platoon sergeant, and next thing you know, I'm getting smoked, push-ups, sit-ups, sprints for about 4 hours. I lost the only rank that I did have, and then I had extra duty, half pay, about 20-hour days for 45 days.
You don't sound like you were really maybe cut out to be in the Army.
Oh, it was a great time. Everybody gets in the Army.
Wait, did you say everybody? Everybody gets in fights.
You don't have a successful military career unless you get an Article 15.
I see. Okay, so it's part of the job requirement of you.
That's right.
So we should salute you, sir.
You're allowed to mess. See, the thing is when you're a private, if you mess up when you're a private, you don't lose all your rank because you barely have anything.
Sure. Yeah.
So once you get up to like sergeant, that's when you don't want to mess up because then you lose all the good money.
Okay. Well, I hear sergeants are dicks, though. They're always telling privates what to do. That's what I hear. That.
Hardcore dick.
USA!
Right?
USA!
Right?
USA!
Right?
USA!
Right?
Right? USA! USA!
I need some babes!
Kevin Bean, there's one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo!
I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Johto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Why not, Bean? This is America, my friends.
Hey, Bean. How's it going, Bean? Happy New Year's, Bean.
Well, to you as well, Doe. Doe is the international man of mystery, one of our very favorite Kevin and Bean listeners. It's always a thrill to have him on the show. And, you know, we keep an eye on Doe's Twitter, and mostly he's writing about flan, vanilla ice cream.
Bean, can I ask you a quick question, Bean? I'm going on the cruise next week with my family.
Hold on, Doe. He's still setting this up.
Hold on, Doe. Lobster, buffets, basically that's what Doe writes about. But then all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, we saw this on January 19th. She asked me for a wedding ring soon. And all of us were like, whoa, what's happening here? Is Doe getting serious with this young lady that he's been dating? Are they actually talking about getting married? And we thought, Doe, it was time we had a friend-to-friend, heart-to-heart, and find out what's happening with you guys.
And say congratulations.
And find out more.
Well, Bean, in terms of what she's telling me, she and I, we did kind of talk about it. It's kind of up in the air for now, Bean, so I'm not so sure. You know, I'm just being honest.
It's up in the air.
She and I, we did talk about it over the weekend.
All right. How long you guys been dating now?
Maybe close to a year.
Close to a year. Okay. And would you say that you are in love, Doto?
You know what? I'm not so sure, Kevin and Bean.
Oh, not so sure.
Do you love each other? Do you tell each other I love you?
She tells me, but I sometimes I might tell her that I'm not so sure, Bean.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so
I'm happy. I'm satisfied.
How did the topic of marriage come up, Doto?
Yeah, so she says that Mr. Toe, when would you want to marry me? That's pretty much what she said.
Hold, please. Does she call you Mr. Toe?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. So she says, "Hey, what do you think about getting married?" And what do you say back to her, Doe?
I say that why don't we just take time to think about it? We don't want to rush it too early, right? Because we don't want to rush it and start becoming a pain because sometimes marriage can be good, sometimes it can be a challenge, though, right, Bean?
Of course, yeah, absolutely, and you're right to think there's no reason to rush into it. If you're not ready to get married, though, you shouldn't get married.
Yeah, of course, Bean.
All
right. Can I ask you a quick question, Bean?
Yes, of course you can.
I'm going on a cruise next week, a princess cruise to Mexico, right, Bean?
Okay, you're going on a cruise.
If you say so,
and,
okay.
And which cruise is better in terms of quality of food and service? Princess Cruise or Carnival Cruise, Kevin Bean?
Well, you're already going, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, so don't you already have one of them picked out? Which do you have picked out?
Pretty much, we're going on the Princess. But I've never been on a Princess. Is the Princess considered to be a little bit more upper scale, Kevin Bean?
I'm not a cruise expert. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
Kevin Bean, are there going to be single ladies on a cruise?
Okay, now hold,
please.
Wait,
hold on. What happened here? It's Allie here. Are you going on this cruise to kind of
think
things over, or are you going to meet ladies?
I'm going on a cruise just for fun, just with my family.
Okay.
Now, is your fiancé going with you?
Nope. Just me. My old man has some relatives from Canada, that's all.
Okay. And you asked if there were single women on the cruises.
Just joking, Kevin Bean.
Right.
Doto, you sneaky dog.
Doe, it's okay. You're allowed to date. You're not married. If you want to date, you should date, should stop talking about whether you're ready to get married or not and just accept the fact that you're not.
Yeah, Bean.
how do you think your young lady, your girlfriend, would react to knowing that you're thinking about other women on the boat?
Well, I'm not so sure.
She'd like it.
Are you really not so sure, though?
And because she told me that she's also dating other men too, Kevin.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
She told me that she's somewhat seen other men, kind of.
Okay.
So you're in an open relationship. You can date other people.
You have a pretty right, Allie.
If you were to get married, it would still be cool for you to nail some solo chicks on the boat, right?
I'm not so sure, Bean. Maybe Kevin Bean.
That's Kevin, right? All right. Yeah. So it sounds like everything's coming up Doto right now. You guys are having a great time when you're together, yeah. But when you're apart, if you want to see other people, that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that, Doe.
Yes, you're right. You're correct, Dave.
Okay. What are you looking forward to in terms of the food on the Princess Cruise, Doe? What are you most hoping they have?
Are there going to be any French food, Kevin Bean?
I don't know.
Yes. Yes, there will be.
I'm sure, right? Because I'm sure the French, Italian, those sure. are those are pretty much popular food, right, Kevin
Bean? Sure, absolutely.
Some sort of a Kevin Bean.
I think Princess specializes in French food.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is part of the reason you're so excited about the cruise is because you love buffets so much and you know that there will be a lot of them to choose from?
No. I like fine dining better, Kevin Bean.
You do?
The problem is sometimes in buffet it gets too boring. You know what I mean, right, Kevin Bean?
Sure. Okay.
I hate a boring buffet.
Yeah.
And on the cruises, you have those sit-down dinners, and you can sit with the captain.
Yeah, that's what I want, Alice. Sit-down dinner.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have you checked if Princess Cruises has flan?
Absolutely, Kevin.
You have checked?
Yes.
Okay. I'm surprised by that.
All right, so you're going to be gone for a week, though?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is the part where Doe gets sad, by the way. You know, the end of every phone call, Doe gets sad.
No, it sounds like everything's going well.
It does.
Yeah.
You talked with your fiancé over the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, not really a fiancé.
But
they're still working things out. Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to have a great time with your family and friends on the cruise and come back and just pick right up in your fabulous life where you left off.
Of course, Kevin.
Now, that was Bean. Now, do you have to call your fiancé from the boat?
Not necessarily.
Mm.
Yeah, I say you take this week. You just enjoy being with family.
Yeah,
you chat with people. You eat. You have fun.
I agree with you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with meeting different people.
No. This is Doto time.
And you nail everything that moves.
Look, Kevin Bean, it's not like I'm tied up in a contract. You know, Kevin
Bean?
Right.
Exactly.
You're right. Exactly.
Doe, I want you to find someone, and I want you to wreck her on this boat, though, okay?
Oh, Bean.
Come on, Bean. Why don't you come along, Bean?
Yeah, Bean.
Yes, Bean.
Why don't you be his wingman?
Bean, I will pay for you to go on that cruise.
I'll pitch in.
I have a job, though. I can't
what?
Make it.
Oh, but we'll give you the week off.
You have a job? I thought your job was pretty flexible. You only work 3 or 4 hours a day, Bean.
Yeah, Bean.
Agree, Bean.
Get out there.
And you're about 55, Bean. You're almost 60, Bean.
You are. I think he's like 70, Doto.
Could be closer to 80. Who knows?
You could get a discount.
All white people look alike.
My point is maybe he's going to die soon, so he should come with you on the cruise.
Agree, Kevin.
Right? Bean will get back to you.
No, what do you say, Bean?
I said thanks for coming on, Doe. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, Kevin, Bean.
You're welcome.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
The off-air conversation has not gotten better since you left, Ralph.
No, it has not. If anything, it's degraded.
It's the Kevin Bean Show at 7:57.
The delightful and charming and talented and socially active actress Milana Weintraub is going to be joining us in studio coming up. That was a lot to say.
You
said it well, though. I liked it.
I think she's happy.
Socially active actress. That's a tough words for me to say. But anyway, we love Milana. She'll be joining us right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to remind folks that Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show this weekend. We are back from the Sundance Film Festival, which we spent the weekend at and a couple days this week. And it was quite the adventure. We will regale you with tales as well as do the usual show at the Improv on Melrose Friday night, 10 p.m.
No.
Me and Kevin Smith returning with Hollywood Babylon.
No!
Speaking of tickets, how great does Hail Caesar look?
Yeah.
I need me some Hail Caesar.
It does look pretty good.
Those boys know what they're doing, those Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Boy, they always make entertaining films. This one stars a gentleman named George Clooney, as do many of their successful films. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Still one of my favorites. I won't sing the whole song.
Thank you.
Josh Brolin, Ralph Fiennes, Jonah Hill, Scarlett Johansson, and more. It's all about a Hollywood fixer in the 50s who works to keep the studio's stars in line. One of their biggest stars gets kidnapped, played by George Clooney, and they have to go about rescuing him. Looks very funny. If you'd like to see Hail Caesar in front of everyone else, how about the K-Rock Advanced screening of Hail Caesar happening at the Pacific Grove Theater on February the 2nd. Why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through, get a pair of passes to see Hail Caesar.
Ralph, how often do the Coen brothers rate movies that they do not direct?
Not often.
Okay.
But what are the numbers?
Well, like, no. How many I ask, name them how many and the year they were distributed.
How many have they written?
The reason I ask is because I always think of Coen brothers movies, just like you were talking about, the kind of movies. But I was watching Bridge of Spies over the weekend, and they wrote that movie. For instance, the Tom Hanks movie for Steven Spielberg. And I was very surprised to see them, you know, doing a movie like that. I just wondered if that's something that I just haven't been aware of that they've been doing for a long time or if that's infrequent.
So you had the answer.
No.
And you're asking me the question.
I didn't have the answer at all. I saw that they wrote Bridge of Spies this weekend, and I'm wondering how frequently that happens where they write a movie that they don't direct that doesn't become what we think of as a Coen brothers movie. Sounds like maybe I asked the wrong guy.
I'm digging in my Coen brothers file here. I have a big filing cabinet here full of all of the filmmakers and all of their work and their history.
You ask somebody besides Google.
You are
that's the wrong person.
You're in the movie
Anyone
business,
Anyone is
Ralph.
The wrong person if they're not Google.
Okay.
Unbroken, Coen, Crime
Unbroken,
Wave,
of course, Crime
The
Wave,
Naked
sure.
Man,
yeah.
wow. Gambit, right. and Bridge of Spies.
Okay.
Allie, right. how were you able to find it's that this, information? That's crazy. I don't remember you asking me.
And
but...
you use your fingers, type it in, and then it comes up. It is weird.
What's the sound your fingers making?
So weird.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Cumming. So good on The Real Wife. Nope. The Good Wife. The Good Housewife. One of those shows.
Did you get much rest over the weekend?
No, it was pretty much wall to wall.
Okay.
51 years old today. Mike Patton. Of course, one of the great generals of the Second World War. I still remember him going into... You know, he was the one who wanted to go to the desert and take on Rommel. The Desert Fox, as he was known, with the
that's
Nazis.
Not the same.
And,
that's not the same, Pat. You're thinking of George. Different
you're son of a bitch.
No.
I read your book.
No, he was Mr. Bungle and Faith No More.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's 48 years old today. Patton Oswalt. Now, Patton was one of the great generals of the Second World War.
Yes. He was. I thought he was a comedian.
Rommel. No. I read your book.
Him. That was him.
Let me tell you, soldier, you're going back in the field. Remember that when Patton Oswalt said that?
That was
General,
crazy.
General Patton Oswalt?
Now that you bring it up, I do.
He is 47. And Rosamund Pike, the lovely and talented British actress, is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, Melana Weintroop.
Oh, hello, Bean.
Welcome back, my dear. Good to see you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I love this headline. AT&T ad star Melana Weintroop, once a Soviet refugee, becomes a voice for Syrian victims. We're going to talk about your campaign, your trip, and everything like that. But here's the reason I bring it up.
Yeah.
Melana Weintraub, the subtly charismatic star of the recent AT&T campaign. Now, I started to think, is there any way they could have praised you less than to call you a subtly charismatic star? Like, she doesn't quite have enough personality to pop. Like, I can't say she's personable.
I've always thought that I'm obviously charismatic.
That's what we're saying.
Subtly charismatic.
No, you're either charismatic or you're not. There's no subtle.
No.
Yeah. I was very surprised by how much they were splitting hairs on that, as they referred to you. Anyway, well, welcome in. It's great to see you. Last time we had Melana on, she was in because she was starring in that wonderful Paul Feig series called Other Space that is still up online and people should go see it. And it's so, so funny. But you're back for something completely different. Now, when were you over in Europe where you made this video that has become so, so big online, Melana?
At the end of September, I went on a vacation to Greece.
Okay.
Yeah.
And describe to us how this whole thing came to you, how it just...
Yeah, well, I was there just vacationing with my dad, and I just started to watch more of the international news. We don't really get a lot of that here, I think.
We get almost none of it here.
We get very little of it. Yeah, we get a lot of like what's happening in the States. But if you go anywhere else in the world, they talk about everywhere else in the world. And so I would flip through the channels and I would watch the Russian news or the international news and BBC, and it would just be talking about the refugees. And I felt so ignorant for not really knowing what's happening. And then when I got to Athens, which was the last stop on our luxurious island hopping vacation, I started to see refugees like camped out on streets and families, and they're just intense or not intense. And
what was the first thing that you did? What was the first action you took?
I started just reaching out on social media to see how I could help. And some people replied with links that I could donate to. And I did that, but it didn't feel good enough. You know, sometimes when you donate, it feels like, okay, well, what now? And then when I was in Athens, I started to meet other people who had already been to Lesbos, which is the island that's closest to Turkey that refugees are coming in from. It's only like 6 miles away. So,
and they're all going there. Why?
They're going there to because there's a civil war in Syria that's breaking up the country. And there's
hundreds of thousands have been killed already in the civil war, right?
Yes. Hundreds of, and millions are trying to escape and are displaced. I mean, they're just taken out of their homes because it is so unsafe. And so they walk or they figure out some kind of way to get from Syria to Turkey, and then from Turkey they cross the Aegean Sea to Greece.
In rafts, life rafts,
in tiny little rafts. Yeah, they're like dinghies. They're like these blow-up things with a motor on them. And they're meant to fit like 12 people, and they have over 40 or 50 people on them.
Wow.
And there's babies, there's moms, there's dads with nothing except the clothes on their back.
There were a lot of pregnant women, too.
And they are literally, they're fleeing Syria because their neighborhoods and cities are just being bombed. They're just, if they stay, they feel they will be killed.
Yeah. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of people since I've posted the video asking, why don't the men stay and fight for their country? And it's not really an option because, so first of all, they don't have the weapons, they don't have the money, and they don't have any of the resources. But also, who do you fight for when so many people are committing these heinous war crimes?
And this civil war that's going on is way above my pay grade of comprehension. It's very complicated, but I mean, it's basically, isn't it another Sunni, what's the other one?
To be honest, I don't really, I don't think that that's like the most important part of it.
Oh, it's not. It's
well,
not.
I
thought there were all these different factions within Syria that are all trying to take control of
it. Shia and the Sunni.
Yes.
And the Sunnis are fighting with one another, and they have backup. Now it's turned into kind of a worldwide thing where the Russians are backing one side, and the United States is backing the other side, and it's just a big giant mess over there, right?
Yes. And it's the government, and it's the rebels. So that everybody has their religious aspect of why they're fighting, but then there are other people that are just trying to protect themselves or fight for their civil rights.
Now, here's what I admire. I admire that you started engaging with those people. You saw people that were refugees, and you started talking to them and asking them what their life was like and everything else.
Yeah, well, I think it's very easy to paint with a broad brushstroke the word refugees, and they're like an other, they're on this other part of the planet, they're all brown, we don't really know what's going on in their lives.
Out of sight, out of mind for most of us, because most of us aren't encountering them like you did in Greece.
Absolutely. And so I felt like if I could show that they're human beings with histories and relationships and goals, then maybe we could relate to them. Maybe we could understand that they're people too and have compassion for that.
How overwhelming did you feel, Milana, when you were standing there on the shores as these boats are coming in and you're helping these people out and you're trying to give them food and everything to see there's only so much a person can do? I mean, it's such a massive problem that it's almost like it's almost too big to handle.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about myself, to be honest. There was so much going on and so many hands on deck that were needed that I would just
What's happening right now?
I don't know what's happening. Go ahead.
I would just try to, like, be useful in any way. But a lot of the times what happened to me, the reason I would get really emotional is because I felt so grateful to live where I live. You see people who get off boats and then kiss the ground because they're so grateful to just be safe because they know they're not going to be bombed there. There are people who are experiencing multiple bombings a day. If there was one here, we would all be freaking out.
Yeah.
But this is happening constantly in a place that not so long ago was a safe place to raise a family. And so seeing people that grateful to just be alive made me feel lucky to be able to take being alive for granted, to not have to worry about my safety.
And you mentioned at the very beginning of the video, and this again is actress Milana Weintraub that we're talking to on the Kevin and Bean Show. Her organization, by the way, is called CantDoNothing.org, and we'll get to that here in just a second. You mentioned that this is something that you are particularly attuned to because you yourself were a refugee at one point, and your video opens with a shot of you as a baby in your parents' arms fleeing Russia, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born in Uzbekistan, which is the former Soviet Union. And in 89, we were encouraged, allowed, kind of shooed out. And we were allowed to leave Russia, but didn't really have another place to go. So there was a year or plus. For us, it was a year and 3 months that we didn't have a home. So we went to Austria for a little bit. We went to Ladispoli in Italy for a little bit until we were accepted into the United States.
So these people that you saw in Greece in the fall are basically at the same point in your life you were at when you were a baby.
It's similar. I think they have it way worse.
Yeah. There's one point in it where you actually say this first stop for them when they get off the life raft is this false sense of hope because they're getting clothing, they're getting the diapers changed, they're getting food, they have smiles and love. But the next stops for them are going to be so hard with the paperwork, with the sleeping on curbs. There are so many more steps that need to be taken for these families.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the big difference between my situation as a refugee and theirs is that we were safe in a lot of the places that we went to and had help. And that's not... Although there are a lot of really amazing NGOs and smaller foundations and larger ones that are helping out, there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of welcoming people into safe places.
The people that you saw are likely never going to go back to Syria. They'll end up living in England or living in France or living in America, right?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on what Syria turns into right now. It's a total state of chaos. And there's people are still by the thousands every day leaving because now there's no food or jobs or consistency there. It's not a place that anyone could sustain. So I don't know what it will be. I mean, hopefully it regains their footing. They would love to go back to their lives and their homes and their families. But that's not something that I could see or the people I talk to could see in the near future.
Can Greece handle them or do they have to just keep trying to get them to move on?
They're not trying to stay in Greece.
Right.
So they get to Lesbos, which is this tiny, tiny island, and they spend a couple days on there until they can get on a boat. And there, that boat takes them to Athens, where they're on the mainland, and then they start working their way through Europe.
Milana, were you able to offer them some good deals on AT&T phones when you talked to them on the beach?
I offer them unlimited everything.
Well, I was just thinking it's a combination of
Bean,
the two things.
Stay on task.
I'm sorry.
I'm not
okay.
Actually Lily.
Okay, all right.
I'm Milana. Okay, this is how acting works.
Got confused. The website is can'tdonothing.org. We'll find out more what that's about with our guest Milana Weintraub when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Actress Milana Weintraub in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show telling us of her recent trip to Greece. She thought it was just going to be a vacation with her dad, and then she opened up her eyes and said, oh my God, what am I going to do about all these Syrian refugees? I can't do nothing. So she ended up shooting a video just on your phone, right, Milana?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you put it up online and everybody is reacting. You got to be so pleased with how much attention this is getting. What is Can't Do Nothing?
Can't Do Nothing is, it's really just a website for you to find out other places for you to contribute. It's not a charity. We don't raise any money for anything. It's just a list of places where you could find out how to share your time, your money, or your voice to take action. And everybody has that. So everybody has one or all three of those. So you have no excuse to not do anything anymore.
What kind of reaction are you getting from people here in America? You talked about how we don't get much coverage of this story, this crisis on the news. Are most people here not interested? Or do you think that once they find out the details of what's going on, people can't help but get involved?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. Once people find out, they're really surprised and they're really touched and they want to get involved.
I'll tell you, I found out from the charity work that I do that most people really genuinely want to do something. If there's a problem, they see it and they really want to do something. They just need to be pointed in the right direction. In this case, that's your site, Can't Do Nothing.
Yeah, can'tdonothing.org. That's really what we're just trying to do is you don't have an excuse, you know? It's just like, let's make it really obvious. Here are places. And also, a lot of the places that we feature are smaller NGOs that are really hands-on, boots on the ground. All of their stuff is on the other stuff, and they're really trying to help out. So they, you know, They're the people that are like setting up tents and actually giving people the medical attention that they need or the food that they need, or they're people that otherwise would not get a lot of attention, especially in the States.
One of the most poignant parts of your video, Milana, is when you find out, and I guess this is probably something that happened often when you were there, you find out about the people who died trying to make it to Greece. I mean, we feel so bad for the ones who make it. What about the ones who don't?
Yeah, I think that's the other part of them being so grateful when they land is, you know, there's this poet who wrote a line kind of like, you have to understand, no one puts their children in a boat unless the water's safer than the land. Mm-hmm. And that's really what they understand the risks, and they know that people are drowning almost every day crossing the sea.
And yet that's better than what they're living in.
What is your, I don't know if you're a political at all, Milana, or if this has impacted the way you have viewed the situation, but what do you think about the United States' response to the refugee crisis so far?
I think we could definitely look up to what Canada's doing, and we could open our arms a little more, even in terms of the education that we're providing people here. And then, you know, I don't really have a political agenda. My real point here is like to have compassion and education for these people.
But Donald Trump says they're ISIS.
Yeah. That's the thing, too. There's such a fear-based mentality because people hear, oh, they're coming over. They're going to come and infiltrate our land, and they're bad. It's so scary that people buy into that.
Yeah, that's miseducation, though. Yeah. So really all I'm pushing for is, like, learn about where these people are coming from, what their lives are like. Understand that they're not so different than you and me.
What they're escaping.
And then maybe you won't be afraid of them. There have been bad situations in the news of Syrians and other parts of the world, but those are so few in compared to how many people there are, and they're people in dire circumstances. I wonder what I would be like in a situation where I haven't had food or shelter, and I've been literally spat on by the world from the time I left my war-stricken country.
Yeah.
So I my whole thing is, like, can we open our hearts to these people and understand what they're going from, and that they're coming from a real place of desperation.
Well, it's a very eye-opening video, and you know, you really do see that they're just people. They're just people exactly like us, and like you said, you really start to appreciate how unbelievably lucky we are to be in the situations that we're in and not in their situations, because it could have just as easily been reversed.
True. Yeah.
So go to this website, and you can donate your time. There are a couple of different places where you can donate your time. There are other different places that you can donate money. I donated to a medical group that works there on the ground, and it's something that you can actually do something about, whereas you just used to look at it and go, wow, that must suck.
Yeah.
And
you can donate your voice. You can share the video. You can talk about it. You can learn about it and tell other people about it. Everybody can do something.
Yeah, watch Milana's video. It's very powerful, and definitely share it. And hashtag is can't do nothing, and the website is can'tdonothing.org. You're making the rest of us look bad, Milana. I got to tell you, I don't like it.
You're all worthless.
But it's great to see you. Congratulations, and we really appreciate you coming in and sharing your story with us, okay?
I love being here. Thank you.
It's a lot of fun. All right, we got to open up the phone lines right now for you on any topic. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is the feature where you can call and talk about anything you want, something that's in the news, sports, movies, questions, comments, problems, anything on your mind. You get to be part of the show right now. 1-800-520-1067. What are you thinking about? Kevin Amin's What's Good is next right after this on K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. That is our number always to get in touch with the Kevin Amin Show, especially right now when we do our feature we like to call What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Why don't we start with, let's start with Nate. He is in Long Beach to get us going on line 8 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Nate.
Good morning. What's good, Kevin and Bean?
What's good?
Hey, man, just wanted to bring up the amazing topic of Coldplay
headlining
the Super Bowl at halftime, and I'm pumped But everywhere I go, people are hating on it. So I just want to make it just a big shout out to Coldplay. I think they're going to rip it, man.
I agree. I think Coldplay is going to be great. They are underrated, I think, as a live band. But
oh,
it,
I don't know when it became cool to start hating Coldplay.
Yeah.
But it has sort of.
People are really good at hating Coldplay.
It was. And you know what it was? It was the movie. I'm forgetting the title, but it was like the, you know how I know you're gay is because you listen to Coldplay. I think
right.
It was definitely jumped on that board. So.
Yeah. It was a funny line in Funny Year Old Virgin, or 40 Year Old Virgin, I think, right?
Something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
And it just seeped into the pop culture. And now that's the thing is it's just fashionable like Coldplay. But they're really, a fun band.
And I think people that don't know Coldplay think of Yellow and Fix You. They think of these sad, just, songs. But when they actually play and all the instruments, they are amazing.
Yeah.
And they're actually
incredible.
Really upbeat and rock.
Yeah, they're incredible. Yeah, me and my wife have seen them, and by far, it's been one of the best shows we've ever seen. They're going to rip it.
I'm excited for it, too.
I mean, they're no Weird Al, but I mean, I guess they're okay.
Well, that's a good point.
Still kind of disappointing. Yeah.
All right, let's try. Let's talk to Mir real quick, just as a follow-up on what we were just talking about. Mir and Walnut, hi.
Yes, hello. I just want to call in the section of what's good, and I'll tell you what's good. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for bringing attention to this topic of the plight of the people almost half around the world. You know, it's just really sad what they go through, and you know, it's just very different from the usual topics that are covered on the show. So I just wanted to give you guys all a big up for that.
Well, we brought in Milana Weintraub to do it, and so that because we can't be trusted.
Yeah.
So I'd like to give props to her for starting this and doing this.
We never would have talked about it if it hadn't been for her.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's. I mean, I just have newfound respect for you guys all.
Well, you're very kind.
It might be misplaced, though. Just hang out and just see.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. And can'tdonothing.org, again, is the name of the website for more information on the crisis with our friend Milana. Let's try Adam LaHabra. He's up next. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show for What's Good.
Hey, Adam.
Hey. The only question, the whole with Milana thing, I was curious. Yes, I understand that those people do need help and something that does need to be done, but when you open up and take in so many, not saying that those people are the ones that would be an issue with, but doesn't it open up an easier way for ISIS to get in?
Yeah, if there weren't any kind of screening process, but it takes like a year and a half for Syrian refugees to emigrate legally to the United States. It's unbelievable the hoops that they have to jump through. Believe me, they check for that. They're looking for terrorism. They're doing the best they can to make sure no terrorists get in legally.
And flip side, Adam, God forbid anything like this ever happened in the United States, that we become this war-torn country and we are trying to make our way to different countries. What if people were like, wait, those people shoot each other up all the time. Those people bomb their own government buildings. It's such a small percentage of people that are doing these horrible things that don't let that cloud your mind that Syrians are bad.
I say screen and let in. That's what I say. I mean, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Let's go to Rick Norwalk, line 3, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rick, appreciate you dialing in. What's
good? Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Good morning. I have a bone to pick with you guys.
All right.
So you guys, I listened to an old episode from about 2-3 months ago, and you guys were just bagging on Tom Waits, bashing him.
I love Tom Waits so much because of this song.
You're the head, you're on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that God loves.
Come on.
Tom Waits is amazing, first of all.
Okay,
amazing.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not here to defend Tom Waits.
Okay.
I'm here to say that you guys are hypocrites because Jack White, basically the same thing. Like making noise and calling it music, and you guys are just defend Jack White and bash Tom Waits. What's up?
All right, I couldn't disagree with you more. First of all, I think Jack White has got a great rock and roll voice. I don't think he sounds anything like Tom Waits.
But
so I don't think there's any comparison between the two.
I agree, but Bean, you also like Tom Waits. Right?
I do. I like Tom Waits.
I love Tom Waits.
However, having said that, I like, and I think we've talked about this before, I like Tom Waits because I grew up listening to Tom Waits, but his voice has gotten worse every year. If Tom Waits came out today as a new artist, his voice would be a deal breaker for me. But because he has been around for so long and has written so many brilliant songs that I'm already a huge fan of his, so I accept the way he sounds now, much like Bob Dylan, same deal.
Hey, Rick, out of curiosity, did you call before about Jack White?
No, but I had heard that guy call, and I agreed with him.
Because he was you.
He's like, they both sound the same. It's like, the music is just noise. It's like, come on, man.
All right, Rick, everybody has their own taste. Yeah. It's okay. You don't have to like either of them.
Just Google Fernwood Tonight and Tom Waits. It is delightful. Do that.
Don't even do that. But thank you for calling. We appreciate that. All right, let's try Lalo. He is on line six. He's in Newhall.
All right, Lalo? Is it Lalo?
Yes.
Yes. What's good?
All right. We all know that Ralph hates the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, but come on, you have the girl there.
The girl has a name.
The girl? What's the girl's name? If you can tell us, we'll let you continue with the call.
Allie.
There you go. Okay.
Way to go, Lalo.
All right. All right. So go ahead.
So you want us to start doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices again? All right. Thank you for the call.
You know it.
Let's move on.
All right, let's try
Lalo. He sounded fun. Anytime anyone says, I don't know that person's name, you're automatically trying to make that person lesser than. That's but your name's Lalo, so you're a dick.
Let's try Natalie and Brentwood line four.
Okay.
Natalie, hi.
Oh, my God. So my question, I answered it while waiting for you guys. I've never called in. I was like, they're not going to answer me. But 21 Pilots, I just finally watched their music video for the first time, and I'm so madly in love with the lead singer. I didn't know his name. He's such a weirdo. He looks like it could be like a Shryan or weird name. I want him. I don't care. That
you
he
want Shryan?
I saw the marriage this year. I want that marriage.
You know, they just played at Acoustic Christmas, and they were amazing.
They were, oh my God! I will build a shrine to Orion or whatever the hell his name is. Like, I want him so bad.
I feel like if you really want him that bad, you would find out his name.
I think I will.
Okay.
Okay. Next step.
So this is a group that you've been hearing on the radio and you liked their songs and you decided to finally check out the video and now you're smitten.
I've watched all their videos.
Okay.
Just let him know Natalie Brown is coming for him. I don't care that he just got married. I don't care.
All right. When we see Shmaya, we'll tell him.
It's Tyler.
Okay. His name is actually Tyler, right? Tyler Joseph.
He's actually his name.
Okay.
Tyler.
Tyler, right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to Natalie, I don't
Not
think.
Not at all.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Bye now.
What's good?
And you heard the Heavy doing...
That was White.
So you should be
White Stripes.
Going from the Heavy. Anyway, I got a band from Japan. I may be going to Japan end of July or August.
Really?
Hopefully I'll check this band out. They're called The Routes. And this is called It's My Time. It's My Time to Go to Japan. Here they are.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be fun. Rodney in Japan? It's going to be awesome. All right. Wednesday morning, 8:53. Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Just sad news. We've lost Fish. Fish is gone.
Fish Mooney?
No, sadly. Not Fish Mooney. And even sadder, not the band Fish. But
how dare you?
Abe Vigoda, the legendary character actor who played Detective Phil Fish on the hit TV series Barney Miller, which still holds up, by the way. If you ever see a rerun of Barney Miller, I guarantee you'll laugh. He had his own spinoff show called Fish, named after his character. And, of course, he played Tessio in the classic film The Godfather. Passed away yesterday morning at his daughter's home. He was 94 years old. He was a great guy by all accounts, great actor. Got his big break when he was 50 years old in the role in The Godfather, and he looked 70 when he was 50 in The Godfather.
That's true.
So he really never appeared to age because he was born 30.
And then, he's the man who invented Booyah!
And he invented Booyah, of course.
So, were you telling us earlier, Ralph, that part of the reason we've been surprised our whole lives that Abe Vigoda is still alive is that at one point it was reported he died?
Yes. People magazine famously ran a mistaken story in 1982 claiming that he had passed.
Wow.
And he was like, no, I'm still alive. So he became the running joke of celebrities of, you know, he's still alive? You know, that thing became a recurring theme with Abe Vigoda's life. And sadly, all the jokes are true. He's gone.
There was a website that has been operating for many years called Is Abe Vigoda Dead? And then you would click on the website and it would just say no.
Yeah.
It's just that was the resource to check.
Now they have to change the website.
Now they did. Yeah. As of yesterday, it's yes.
What a pain in the butt. You have to change that slide.
Change that
yes.
to yes.
That's an hour or two of work right there. The internet brings us many great things. Not only is Abe Vigoda dead or not, but it has also given us a gift that, frankly, may be, I don't want to oversell this, it's the greatest thing ever.
That's not
this
overselling?
This is being reasonable. This is underselling it. GQ Magazine. Kevin, of course, GQ stands for?
Gentlemen's and Queens.
So close.
So close. What?
Gentlemen's Quarterly.
Yes, Quarterly. Magazine.
Did an interview with R. Kelly about his career and his troubles in the past and his life, and they thought it would be a good idea, and they were goddamn right, to sit him down in front of a camera and say, why don't you sing us the story of your life?
Sing us the story of your life?
Well, they said sing us a short story about your life.
Okay.
A la Trapped in the Closet. They wanted a little spoken word, a little song.
Okay.
Okay. Sing us a short story about your life. R. Kelly sat down and gave a moving performance that lasts 45 minutes.
Oof. What?
He started, and 45 minutes later, he was done. It may be his greatest achievement since Trapped in the Closet.
45 minutes.
Of his life story. Hmm. I wish I could play it for you in its entirety.
Because, I wish you could as well.
Because really, there's... You've never heard anything better. Look, I'll just play a few little clips. We just have time for a few little clips. Here is R. Kelly getting ready to start singing about his life.
We rolling? Are we rolling? Are we rolling? Are we rolling? This is my life. I'm R. Kelly and this is my life. This is my life. This is my life. I'm R. Kelly and this is my life.
And that's the end of it.
Nope, that's just the beginning. Now you know why it's 45 minutes.
Just because he repeats.
That's the introduction to him starting before he starts singing about his life.
By the way, he's a despicable human being who I so personally hate, but man, what a talent.
Right?
Right.
He really is so talented.
Did he go over everything
he
that happened
left
in his
out
life?
Some things in his life.
Oh, like urinating on underage girls?
Pete.
Or... Okay.
He didn't do that section. Yeah. Maybe they didn't include it if he did.
He only had 45 minutes.
Here's a little story about R. Kelly riding his bike.
Born in the ghetto. Riding my bike, 14 years old. My mom said, you can go two blocks and come back. I said, okay, mama. Two blocks and back. Okay, mama. Two blocks and back. I promise two blocks and back.
Yeah. So he rode two blocks.
And back.
And then he got back.
Yeah.
And he got shot while he was on his bike.
Yeah.
And they stole his bike. And that's a half an hour. And then there's him.
Wow.
Singing in front of a local McDonald's and making money and moving from Chicago to Venice Beach. And oh, it's just... Just do yourself a favor. Just go and just watch it and just pour yourself a glass of wine and light a candle and...
Drink it in.
Drink it in, indeed, yes. Not everything, though.
No.
When you come to
not
Kelly,
everything
you
know, he's offering.
You don't want to drink everything. Nope. You don't want to drink it all in. You just... Some of it you want to spit right out.
Drink none of it.
Well, no, you can drink some of it.
I'd like to change to drink
no,
none of it.
No, you drink it in.
Zero.
But sometimes you close your mouth.
Don't drink anything from R. Kelly unless it's in a sealed container
I'm
you
saying,
personally open.
Well, not even then, because you don't. Where did the container come from?
Well,
I'm just saying you have to use good judgment, okay. As in all things, about what you drink in around R. Kelly.
Okay. It's a good tip.
Thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Cumming is 51 years old today. Faith No More singer Mike Patton, 48. Speaking of Pattons, Patton Oswalt, actor, comedian, nerd extraordinaire, legend, genius. All-around good guy. 47 years old. And actress Rosamund Pike. I remember her from the Bond movie. Which one did she do? She did the cold one. Which one was the cold one? With the ice hotel. With Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, it was cold. And it was, they had the ice hotel. And he had the invisible car. Come on, Kevin.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Anyway, she's 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Diego Marquez, by the way, from East Los Angeles. We very much appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Sir, you have just won yourself some tickets to go see Weezer, along with Panic at the Disco and Andrew McMahon at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater in August. And you're on the standby boarding list Monday morning. We do a grand prize drawing. We might send you to go see the band in Amsterdam. It's destination number 2 of the world tour. Your next chance to win coming up at noon. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey there.
What's going on, man?
Wanted to thank listener Edwin sending in this email. I did a story earlier today where I was talking about the Oscar Mayer Winnebago, where they're having an auction.
Right.
That you can spend the weekend at the big game in the Winnebago that has snacks and drinks and cable, and you win $2,500 and a stipend and a personal chauffeur to drive you around while you're up there at the big game. And I was mentioning how that's the big game. We can't really talk about anything else other than the big game because there are very strict rules.
Yeah.
Regarding what you can talk about regarding the big game that's coming up.
You have to be a major sponsor or you cannot say it.
Yes. So Edwin wrote this very helpful email. Ralph, welcome back. I heard your difficulty trying to find a way to refer to the upcoming big game since a certain sports league is so litigious. Edwin says, I just call it the game the Patriots are not in. So that is a good way to qualify, Edwin. I think that is a good way to kind of make sure everyone knows what's going on.
You really like Edwin.
He's a funny man.
Edwin's funny pretty much every time.
He's a funny man.
He's 100%.
He's funny, funny.
Allie, is there a point in every day where it occurs to you, like you hadn't thought about it since you got up, but then it occurs to you, oh, that's right, the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl?
No, I actually just watched last year when Butler intercepted.
Boom.
I just watched that and I'm fine.
Boom! But that helps you today, it helps you tomorrow,
absolutely.
It helps you the day
It'll
after.
Help me for the rest of my life knowing it ruined yours. Shut up.
It sure seemed like there was a lot of talk about your Patriots making the Super Bowl this year. And
by who?
Not, so much.
Not by me.
Really?
No, Allie's been worried for a while.
Absolutely. If you listen and didn't have your agenda beam, you'd know that.
Wow.
But it's cool.
Wow.
Whatever.
It is for real.
Whatever, Lalo.
Patriots fans are fun, aren't they?
Oh, see, then he turns it around on me that he wasn't being a dick to begin with.
Right.
I stick up for myself, and then I get it.
However, in Allie's defense, there is a petition online now, if you saw it or not.
For?
That the Seattle Seahawks fans
have
a petition to ban Cam Newton from going to the CenturyLink Field in Seattle because he dared to tear down a 12th man flag in Carolina. So they want him to be banned from the stadium.
Yeah.
When the Panthers go to play there,
he
won't be allowed in the building is what they're shooting for, which I think is reasonable, a reasonable response, and I think it's likely to happen. I think they're going to have great success with that petition.
Look, that guy's an idiot, and believe me, the minute his petition was up, there were petitions up to ban him from going to the game. So nobody thinks he's speaking for them.
Everybody hates everybody in Seattle.
Seahawks fans are fun, aren't they? That's all I'm saying. I want to congratulate Bean on his new purchase. I'm assuming it's Bean.
Oh, what is it? What did he purchase?
Today it was announced that someone purchased a photograph of a potato for $1.5 million. So congratulations, Bean. I hope that looks nice in your house.
I need something to go next to the painting of the corn.
I know you're a big corn photo fan, so I'm assuming you bought the potato number 345 photograph for $1.5 million.
How can that be worth that much money?
Because it's art, Kevin. Why don't you open up a blog?
Come on now. Is it a picture of a potato?
I have the photograph right here in case you want to see it.
That's
a picture
sold
of a potato
for
$1.5 million.
No.
Don't tell me no. I'm telling you yes. Can't wait to see how much garlic it goes for.
I mean, it's a very
absurd
photogenic potato.
It's a beautiful potato. Don't get me wrong.
That is a sexy potato.
You want to find a better way to spend your money?
Yes.
I got it for you. Fans of Back to the Future are thrilled with this news today. The DeLorean is back, baby. Yay! Sound effect.
The kids don't care.
The kids don't care.
Apparently.
No.
They care about everything else.
They're going to start making that car again? Is that what you're saying?
You're goddamn right they are.
Yay!
There you go. See? Kids just didn't understand
what it
meant.
They weren't paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah, the legendary sleek silver car made famous by the Back to the Future movies. Back in production. They went out of production after the company went bankrupt when founder John DeLorean was arrested for buying copious amounts of coke. But there is a...
Some people are so uptight.
There is a company in Humble, Texas, known as the DeLorean Motors Company in Humble, Texas. And they have been renovating old DeLoreans for years because they have tons of parts warehoused. And so you bring them your old beat-up DeLorean that you buy on Craigslist or what have you, and they will refurbish it and make it good as new.
Okay.
They're making the big leap.
Were those notorious for having a lot of problems?
Oh, they were a nightmare.
Yeah.
They were a nightmare.
So they're going to update all that?
Nope. They're going to be building new DeLoreans using the old parts that they have in the warehouse.
That doesn't...
They're going to slap them together and make you some new DeLoreans. Steve Wynn, CEO of DeLorean Motors, says, it's fantastic. It's a game changer for us. We've been wanting this to happen. I bet you have. You have a warehouse of old DeLorean parts. New DeLorean will cost you... What are you guessing? What are you guessing for a brand new DeLorean? Fresh off the assembly line using parts from 30 years ago.
$125,000.
You're not far off. 100 grand.
That's
going to cost
you.
I'm getting six. Seven. Why not? Have one for each day of the
sure.
week. Kelly. R. Kelly's the man. Don't take my word for it. Do yourself a favor. Go online and find the footage of him sitting in front of a camera, extemporaneously singing his life story.
I tweeted this out after you did the story, Ralph, and a guy wrote back and said I could get through 30 seconds of it.
Well, then, that man has no taste whatsoever. GQ Magazine did a recent interview with R. Kelly about his career and his troubles in his past. And they said, this would be a cool idea. Let's sit you down in front of a camera, and you sing us one little short story about your life, a la Trapped in the Closet. Just give us a little short story about your life. So R. Kelly obliged. For 45 minutes.
Uninterrupted.
Sang about his life for 45 minutes. Now you know why there's so many chapters to Trapped in the Closet, because he's got too much talent. He can't hold it in. Can't sit on that much material. You gotta let it rip. Right?
Sure.
R. Kelly is known for asking people to let it rip. Here's the introduction to the 45-minute song of R. Kelly's life.
We rolling?
You rolling?
Yeah, you're rolling. Are we rolling?
Yes, you're rolling.
Are we rolling?
You are rolling.
Are we rolling?
The cameras are rolling, R. Kelly.
This is my life. I'm R. Kelly and this is my life.
All right. Start anytime.
This is my life. Right. This is my life.
So the story of your life begins.
I'm R. Kelly and this is my life.
All right.
It's not that long.
We're 3 minutes in now. He sings about performing in front of his local McDonald's when he was a kid, making money. Moving from his hometown of Chicago to Venice Beach, with how that was traumatic. His deep relationship with his mother. And, of course, the story of riding his bike when he was a kid in Chicago. We all rode our bikes, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Born in the ghetto. Riding my bike, 14 years old. My mom says you can go two blocks and come back. I said, okay, mama, two blocks and back. Okay, mama, mm-hmm. two blocks and back. I promise two blocks and back.
Oh, then she told him to put on a sweater. That's another 8 minutes.
Stop it.
Okay, I'll button up my sweater. It is a little breezy. It's kind of chilly, putting on a sweater. But I think I'll wear my hoodie instead, so I can pull up the hood, keep my head warm. Here's a little chilly. Chicago gets cold. Need a hood. Yeah, it's 45 minutes. And it's magic. That's all it is. Nothing but
45 minutes of magic.
And, of course, we have to say goodbye to Abe Vigoda today. Legendary character actor, starred as Detective Phil Fish on the hit TV comedy Barney Miller. Had his own spin-off show called Fish shortly thereafter. Played Tessio in the classic movie The Godfather. Was a great character actor who worked in voiceover and television and film his entire life. He was 50 years old already when he got the role in The Godfather. And
he looked good, though.
He did.
He looked good.
He looked good for 50 and his life became a bit of a punchline because people were always asking, is Abe Vigoda still alive? Now, he was sort of the bellwether between the celebrities that were actually dead and ones you thought were dead. And Abe, now sadly at 94, has passed away, but he had a pretty good life, I'm guessing. I don't really know him personally, but it seemed like
he was a dick.
No, Kevin!
Oh, that's just mean. That's what I've heard.
A little...
You know who's shocking to me that is still alive?
Wait, this is someone who is shocking to you and is still alive? Or it is shocking that person is
still
alive?
It is shocking. Oh. The person that is now that Abe is gone, the person that takes over that role in my mind that I can't believe is still alive is Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas has been alive. I mean, like, he was a big movie star when my dad was a kid.
That's
and
true.
He's still alive.
And he had some real health issues.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like a major stroke.
But he bounced back and is hanging in there.
And how old is he?
I think he's 100, maybe. I think he's 100. But you still see pictures of him every once in a while. They'll bring him out to some sort of Hollywood. Christine, look that up for us real quick, if you would. How old is Kirk Douglas? You'll see him out at a Hollywood movie function or something like that.
He
still
is 99, Bean.
All right, so Chloe.
He's not 100. You were way off.
Wrong.
You were way off, Bean. He's 99.
I didn't think he was that
wrong.
I didn't either.
Wow.
How old is Zsa Zsa Gabor, while we're on the topic, by the way, of people you can't believe are still alive?
She's not alive.
She is alive. Zsa Zsa Gabor is also still alive.
You know what? I would argue with Bean on many areas, but not death.
She's 98.
I would not argue with Bean regarding death.
Yeah, correct. She's 98, and she's still going.
But he knows more about death than the Grim Reaper.
Oh, he does.
The Grim Reaper calls him up and says, hey, did I get this guy yet? And people, no. He's 100. I say, oh, okay. Just trying to catch up. I was on vacation, and my books are behind. Thanks, Bean, for the tip. Bean's like the assistant Grim Reaper.
Can I please tell Kevin, do we have time? Do we have a minute? Can I please tell Kevin about the job that I discovered exists last week?
I say save it for
a
whole segment.
Tomorrow we'll talk about
it. It's that good.
Yeah.
The world's greatest job.
So for good. Bean.
Wrong.
For Bean. We have to add
for Bean.
For Bean,
okay.
In parentheses.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these people are still alive and celebrating their birthdays today. Very talented actor Alan Cumming, 51 years old, probably best known to most people for his work on The Good Wife. But he was recently on Broadway and Cabaret, and he's just a very talented guy. Also in a James Bond movie. We were talking about James Bond movies earlier today because Rosamund Pike starred in Die Another Day.
That was the name of
the film.
Okay.
Not James Bond visits an ice hotel in his invisible car, as I said. That was not the title.
That sounded right to me.
I was pretty sure that was the name, but apparently I was a little bit off. It's called Die Another Day. But Alan Cumming also was the star of GoldenEye, you may remember. He played the Russian computer genius who helped steal the GoldenEye in GoldenEye. James Bond's movie, GoldenEye, which was a targeting system that the Russians
quite
had.
That far back with the James Bond series.
Pierce Brosnan. It's like last week.
Was it last week?
Well, maybe not last week, but it was recent. He's the most recent James Bond before Daniel Craig.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just saying it's not that far back.
I hear you.
Considering that the franchise started in 1962.
Right.
You can go further back than GoldenEye.
Right, but I haven't. That's my point.
How could you not have?
My point is that I haven't.
So. My point is, if you're Bond fan at all, that would seem like one that would probably fall into your wheelhouse.
Right, but I didn't, and I haven't.
Because you're alive.
You're
not Abe Vigoda.
No, but
you're
I'd
more
like
Kirk
to be
Douglas,
soon.
I'd like to say. Rosamund Pike also. She was a James Bond.
What movie?
37. I told you James Bond visits a nice house in his invisible car.
That one.
Patton Oswalt is 47. Mike Patton, singer for Faith No More. And Mr. Bungle is 48 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Jillian Bell and Charlotte Newhouse join us. They are the stars of Idiot Sitter on Comedy Central. We have a brand-new internet roundup. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew and some sports with Jim Rome tomorrow morning on an all-new show.